We use words for everything, right? To
Yeah.
talk to our friends or make mental to-do lists that never end.
That's true.
But today, we're thinking about words with a completely different kind of purpose. Mantras.
Okay.
We're going on a global sound walk.
Sounds fun.
We'll dive deep into how religions around the world use sounds to connect with something bigger than themselves.
It's like we're about to uncover a hidden dimension of language.
Ooh, I like that.
One where the sounds themselves have a kind of spiritual energy.
A hidden dimension, and we'll hear chants from Hinduism and Buddhism, but we'll also look at powerful phrases in Christianity and Islam.
Right.
It'll be like a journey through a global soundscape of spirituality.
Each stop will show us how these practices, even though they're expressed in different ways, all tap into a very human desire for connection and transcendence.
Our first stop is Hinduism.
Okay.
And of course, we have to start with the most iconic mantra of them all, Om. It's more than just something you hear in yoga studios, isn't it?
It's definitely more than that.
This one syllable is thought to be the sound of the universe itself,
Yes.
like the vibration that started everything.
It's a strong symbol of the interconnectedness that's so important in Hinduism. Om includes this idea of unity of the body, mind, and spirit all woven together.
So even in that one sound, there are all these layers of meaning.
Exactly.
There's Om Namah Shivaya, which might seem pretty simple at first, I bow to Shiva. But isn't there something more to that bowing?
Absolutely. It's acknowledging the power of transformation, of
Yeah.
change. And Shiva represents that.
Okay.
It's like saying that you recognize that force within yourself and in the world around you.
Now get ready for a real sonic adventure. The Gayatri Mantra
Okay.
comes from the Rig Veda, one of Hinduism's oldest texts.
Right.
It's supposed to be incredibly powerful for bringing about enlightenment.
It's not just a phrase, it's a beautifully structured verse.
Yeah.
Imagine a sonic invocation calling on the light of the sun, which here represents wisdom and knowledge.
Like bathing your mind in sunlight. I love that. We won't try to explain the entire Sanskrit text now because that might be a whole other deep dive.
True.
But as long as we're talking about powerful mantras, we can't skip the Muhammad Nyunjaya mantra.
Yes.
This one's all about overcoming fear and healing, maybe even on a physical level.
There's this great image that goes with it, a cucumber vine breaking free from its bonds. It's a metaphor for liberation, for getting rid of what's holding us back from true well-being.
Okay, from the warmth of the sun to something totally different. We're going to the world of Zen Buddhism,
Yeah.
where we find the single syllable mu.
This one's all about emptiness,
Really?
but not in like a bad way. Mu points to the concept of non-duality, that state where our usual habit of dividing the world into this and that dissolves.
So it's kind of like hitting the reset button on your mind.
Yes.
But how does emptiness lead to a new understanding?
Imagine emptying a cup so it can be filled up with something new. Mu encourages us to let go of our preconceptions, to look at our experiences with fresh eyes.
That's a really powerful idea, especially with how overloaded we are with information. But now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have the more elaborate Om Mani Padme Hum, the jewel in the lotus. What's the story with this one?
This mantra is all about cultivating compassion for ourselves and others. The lotus, blooming in all its beauty, even though it comes from muddy waters, symbolizes the potential for enlightenment in us all.
I've also heard that saying this mantra isn't just a personal thing. It's supposed to send out waves of compassion that benefit everyone.
That's right. It highlights how interconnected we all are, how our actions and intentions affect everyone around us.
Okay, from the lotus, we're going on to another powerful Buddhist mantra, the Heart Sutra Mantra. Gate, Parasam Gate, Bodhisvaha. It's like a journey in itself, isn't it?
It's a statement about moving beyond suffering to reach enlightenment. The repetition of gate, which means gone, emphasizes this process of letting go of what's holding us back.
So each gate is like another step toward freedom. And for anyone going through those everyday challenges, those anxieties that creep up on you, there's the Green Tara Mantra.
Yes, this mantra invokes Green Tara, a female Buddha that embodies protection and compassion. She is a source of support who helps us get rid of obstacles and fears.
It's amazing how each mantra has its own kind of energy, its own way of dealing with life's difficulties. But we're not done yet. Our sound walk is taking us to the traditions of Jainism and Sikhism next. So our sound walk continues, and now we're in Jainism.
Okay.
It's kind of like a bridge between Hinduism and Buddhism, and it also has a lot of really interesting mantras.
And right at the heart of Jainism is the Namokar mantra. This one is unique because it's not just about words, it's about acknowledging a lineage of spiritual wisdom.
It's like showing respect to those who have come before us on the path.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the Arihants, the people who have achieved enlightenment, the Siddhas who have transcended the cycle of life and death, and all the teachers who guide the way.
It's a really beautiful way to feel a sense of community on this spiritual journey.
Right.
And then there's the Bhaktamar Stotra.
Yes.
That one's not just one mantra. It's more like a collection of verses, right?
That's right. And this just goes to show that mantras can be more than simple phrases. The Bhaktamar Stotra is a great example of how a longer piece of writing can bring together stories, emotions, and spiritual teachings to create a really powerful experience.
It sounds almost like a musical journey in itself. Okay, from the piece of Jainism, we're moving on to Sikhism, where the main belief is in Ek Onkar, the oneness of God.
It's a basic statement of Sikhism's idea that there's only one God. Ek Onkar is about the idea that everything that exists is interconnected and part of the divine.
And I love how simple Wahiguru is. Wonderful teacher. It's such a sincere expression of reverence.
And it reminds us that the spiritual path is about constantly learning. We can find guidance from that teacher inside of us and from the divine wisdom that's all around us.
Talking about guidance, there's the Mool Mantra.
Yes.
The root mantra of Sikhism. And this one goes into some pretty profound areas.
What's so interesting about the Mool Mantra is that in just a few lines, it creates this really vivid image of the divine. It talks about how God exists outside of time, about the creative power that brought everything into being, even qualities like fearlessness.
So it's like a little word portrait of God.
That's a good way to think about it.
I think some people listening might be wondering, what about religions like Christianity and Islam?
Yeah.
Do they use mantras too?
That's a great question. Even though they might not use the word mantra exactly the same way, Christianity and Islam both have strong traditions of repeating sacred words or phrases to get closer to God.
So it's more about the practice itself than what you call it.
Right. It shows how the urge to connect with the sacred through sound and repetition goes beyond any one culture or religion. It seems like it's something all humans want.
It's like we're finding these hidden connections between us all.
I'd like that.
So let's start with Christianity. What are some of those sacred phrases?
One of the most famous is the Kyrie Eleison.
Uh-huh.
Lord, have mercy. It's a simple request for compassion and forgiveness, acknowledging that we're not perfect.
It's acknowledging that we all need a little help sometimes.
That's right.
What about practices that are more about thinking and going deeper into that connection with God?
Then you have the Jesus prayer.
Okay.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's about turning inward. Trying to commune with Jesus through focused repetition.
Almost like making a quiet space inside yourself when everything around you is so busy.
Yes, exactly.
And now our sound walk is taking us to Islam, where we come across this idea of dhikr, which means remembrance.
Dhikr is about being mindful, bringing your attention back to Allah by repeating specific phrases or verses from the Quran.
It's like the opposite of feeling scattered and distracted.
Exactly. It's about finding that stillness inside yourself and making your connection with God stronger.
What are some of the phrases people use in dhikr?
Well, there's subhanallah, which means glory be to God. It's about recognizing his greatness and perfection. Then there's Allahu Akbar, meaning God is the greatest. A way to express faith and surrender.
And of course, Bismillah, which means in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful.
That's right.
It feels like that one's woven into everyday life, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. You'll often hear Muslims say Bismillah before they do anything important. It's a way to recognize that God is present in all parts of life.
Like a reminder to go through your day with intention, remembering that God is there. It's amazing to see how these practices, even though they have different names and forms, are all about using sound to get closer to the divine. Sound walk's not over yet, though.
Hmm.
Let's see how this idea works in Judaism. Hmm. So we've gone from east to west,
yeah.
And we've heard all these powerful sounds from different traditions.
Right.
It makes you think, even though the words are different, is there something about just repeating them over and over that makes it so universally powerful?
That is what's so interesting. Across all these religions, it's the repetition that matters.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding what the words mean, although that's important too.
Right.
It's more that the sounds create a resonance,
mm-hmm.
a vibration that helps calm the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even gets us aligned on a physical level.
So are you saying that even if I don't speak Sanskrit or Hebrew,
yes.
there's still something I can benefit from just through the sound?
Exactly. Think of it like trusting the sound.
Okay.
Trusting that these old syllables and phrases that have been around for centuries have a deeper meaning that we don't immediately understand.
You know, it reminds me of how music can be so powerful and make you feel things even if you don't understand the words or the
Yes.
theory behind it. That's like there's this whole other level of communication going on.
I love that connection. It's like
Yeah.
we're tapping into a different way of understanding
Oh, yeah.
something beyond just thinking about it.
Okay. So we've covered Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism,
Yes.
Christianity, and Islam,
Right.
and now Judaism. And what's striking is that even though they don't usually use the word mantra,
That's true.
repetition is still how they connect with the divine.
In Judaism, it's about really engaging with their sacred texts,
Okay.
letting those words really sink in.
Like the Shema Yisrael, right?
Yes.
That statement of faith.
It's a core belief.
Right.
It affirms that God is one
Yeah.
and the covenant between God and the Jewish people.
Saying it over and over isn't just about memorizing the words. It's
Nah.
about taking that truth to heart.
Yeah.
And then you have the Moda Ani, which I think is really beautiful, that
Yes.
morning prayer of gratitude.
It's such a powerful way to start your day,
Yeah.
to appreciate being alive and being connected to something bigger than yourself.
Wow, this deep dive has been like discovering a whole world of sound and spirituality
Yes.
from Om to Amen.
Yes.
It's incredible how these simple practices that have been passed down for generations
Right.
give us a way to connect with something beyond ourselves.
It really shows how much we all want the same things, don't you think?
Yeah.
Peace, meaning
Yeah.
something more than just our everyday lives.
Yeah.
And these practices offer a path to connect with that.
I have to admit, I feel a little overwhelmed, but in a good way.
Yeah.
We've explored so many traditions and so many beautiful sounds.
It's been quite a journey.
What does all this mean for the people listening? Now that they've gotten a taste of this world of mantras, where do they go from here?
I think they should try things out, see what resonates with them.
Okay.
Maybe start with something simple like Om,
Right.
or maybe the compassion of Om Mani Padme Hum,
Yeah.
or even something completely different. Just try working one of these sounds into your life each day, even if it's just for a few minutes, and pay attention to what changes you feel.
It's like we've given them a map to a whole new world of sound.
Exactly.
And now it's up to them to explore it and find what speaks to them.
I like
Who knows? Maybe they'll even discover their own personal mantra, their own unique sound that connects them to something bigger. Keep listening, keep exploring, and most importantly, keep diving deep.